All right. Again, it's been a great day, and I will not be long in the second service. We were here this morning, and you had lunch, and we know what most people do when they go home after Sunday morning service. You take your nap. So I encourage you, don't start your nap right now, okay? Give me about 5 minutes, and I'll put you to sleep, and it should be good, all right? So we won't take long. You know, people are better at saying what they're going to do than actually doing it, right? How many of you noticed that? I heard a couple phrases. Your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I don't care what you say. I want to see what you do. Actions speak louder than words. Benjamin Franklin, in his book, Poor Richard's Almanac, says, well done is better than well said. We think about it, really, that's a flaw in our nature. Christians, we talk a better game than we play, right? We have no problem, the Jesus bumper stickers and all that, and then we cut people off on the freeway and drive like we should put that, you know, we're on Satan's team the way we drive on the freeway. But to me, one of the biggest areas where people will say one thing and do another is Christianity. I don't know why it is so easy for us to say we believe one thing about Jesus and yet our lives totally don't match that up. And it can be very detrimental to the testimony of Christians. And, you know, you've heard it. If you've ever tried to talk to somebody about the Lord, you've had to have heard it multiple times. I know too many hypocrites, right? A couple years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, not in our circles, but there was a very well-respected evangelical apologist who died, and he had nothing but praise from everybody. And they came to find out months after that his life did not match up in any way with what he was doing by way of ministry. He was being immoral and doing some things, and it came out and destroyed his testimony. It destroyed the ministry that he left behind because he was saying one thing in public, and in private, he was living a completely different way. Now, apart from those type of horrific stories, the fact of the matter is, the average Christian, if we're not careful, will talk a better game than we live. And God's more interested that we are walking it than that we are just talking it. And that's very important. Jesus, in this chapter where we read our scripture, was on his way to Jerusalem. His disciples had been rejected by a village of Samaritans as he was on his way to Jerusalem. But in the end of this chapter here, he encounters three different individuals. And they all have an encounter with Jesus revolving around them serving him in some way. They said they would be willing to make some sacrifices and that they wanted to go to the next level of spirituality. But when the rubber hit the road, it seems like neither of these three wanted to actually do what they said they were due or what they were offered to do. The story is teaching us that it's one thing to say that we would be 100% on board, and it's another thing to act 100% on board. If we're going to be Christians, we're going to serve God, and we say we're going to do it, we need to follow through. Christianity has such a bad name in our country. Everywhere I worked, before when I was in college and before I started working in the ministry, wherever I got a job, I'd always make it real clear up front that I was a Christian. I just thought, I want that laid out there right away so people knew that, because I wanted to be a good testimony. And if you've ever done that anywhere you lived, I guarantee you this has happened. Somebody will come up to you and say, you're a Christian? Well, there's a guy that works here that says he's a Christian, and he does, you know, dot, dot, dot. Because they're looking for somebody to give them a reason not to believe. But as we think about it, the benefits of Christianity really only come to those who are committed to living it. We can talk about how wonderful it is to be a Christian and how wonderful it is and God takes care of everything. But if we're not living for him, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. It depends on our lifestyle. was an evangelical pastor several years ago. He's a heretic, to be real honest with you, and it's shown its way. He told people in his church, you don't have to believe in Jesus, but if you just follow some of his teachings, you'll just live a better life. By the way, that's nonsense. It's nonsense on several reasons. Number one, you won't. And number two, what good does it do a person to tell them, go ahead and reject Christ and just live like a Christian and you'll have benefits and then you die and spend eternity in hell? He was lying to him. We must be committed to get the benefits, right? What did John F. Kennedy say? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. By the way, that wouldn't go over very well today. We could state that in Christian terms. Ask not what Christ can do for you, but what can you do for Christ? And I hope that's the desire of your heart. Never be comfortable with being vocal in what you're saying you believe about Christ and not being willing to back it up with the actions in your life. Now, when it comes to the Christian life you're living, you must be walking it and not talking it. And I want us to look at these three individuals very briefly tonight, and I want you to see their issues. I want you to see what they said or what they were offered and how they responded, because the fact of the matter is, a lot of Christians respond these ways. First of all, I want you to look at the very first one in verse number 57. This is the one who expressed a desire. Look at verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. This guy steps up without ever being asked. There was no church service. There was no invitation. This guy sees Christ and he comes up and he offers this information. Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. Oh, is he going to back it up? Look at verse 58. Jesus drops a reality check on him. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, if that was us, and people come up to us and say, you know what, I want to follow Christ with our life, we would jump up and down and be all happy, and there's nothing wrong with that, but Jesus is like, reality check. It's not going to be as easy as you think. We have people visit our church all the time. And you know what I found? I've been an adult Sunday school teacher forever. People come and they'll visit our church for the first time and they'll say, I love this place. I've never seen a place like this in my life. I'm in. You know what that means? I'm never going to see them again. Typically. Some people, they stay. But a lot of times people are in emotion of things and it's like, okay, you might want to check us out and make sure first. And you know, some people come and they check it out for a few, and it's like, you know what? This is what I want. I'm in. And that's good. The point is, let's not just say something based on emotions. Let's make sure that we are going to fulfill even when things get tough. That's what Jesus is saying. See, Jesus knew this man was probably making a hasty decision. We have to understand that having desire is not enough. It has to be mixed with determination and dedication. It has to. I mean, it's okay to come up and say, okay, I'll do this, but it's like you better have something in the back that says, when things get tough, I am going to do it. I don't care. Look, there's a honeymoon phase of everything. Come on. Look, you get married, and everything's great, and you live together for the first time, and this is my wonderful wife, that's my wonderful husband, and then you, this is not a bad thing, you get hit with reality. Life is life. Come on, and I'm not saying things are bad, but see, what we want, all we want are the benefits of marriage, we don't want the responsibilities of marriage. Same thing's true in the Christian life. Oh, yeah, songs are great. This is great. That's great. But what about the responsibility that comes with loving and following the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did this guy struggle? Well, he didn't examine himself. He came to Jesus and said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I denote a sense of pride in that. I'm going to do this. Peter, right? Jesus, hey, look, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going into the thing. And first of all, Peter rebukes Jesus for the fact that he was going to be crucified. And then Jesus says, I'm going to be arrested. They're coming, and you're all going to forsake me. And Peter said, not going to happen. I'll never do it, even if these guys do. That's pride. And guess what happened to Peter? He didn't do it. Listen, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We better figure this thing out and say, listen, this is not a thing of pride. Yes, we need to be dedicated and determined, but we also need to understand that we're in the flesh, and without God, we're not going to make it. We talked about that on Thursday night. I will follow thee. How many dedicated, we have many dedicated sacrificial people in our church that they do this. They're faithful to soul winning. You serve in ministry, you give, you do all those things. But let me just tell you this, you better watch out for pride. Right? I mean, you know, some of you, you've been here for a while, you look good, you dress nice, it's all good, you got everything dotted. I remember what you were like when you came. And when I went to church, they can remember what I was like when I came. And we sometimes get on our high horse and we're impatient with people. You know, you come to church, oh, what a nice church building. We don't want those kids messing the church building up. Neither do I, but it's going to happen. Okay, that's just how it is. Now look, I'll tell you, don't mess things up. Okay, let's be very careful. No drinks, all that stuff. Let's keep it clean. Let's take care of the building. That's not going over very well, but let's take care of things. But you know what? Bus kids don't know that. And let's not get snobby around here. We get snobby, let's torch the place and start over. Okay, that's not what God wants. But we get like that, I'll do that. And he may mess up and he may do that, but there's a pride in his statement. He didn't realize that without the Lord, he could go sideways. And he didn't expect sacrifice. Jesus just laid it out there. Okay, if you really want to do this, it is going to take sacrifice. This isn't going to just, we see the perks of Christianity, but we don't see what it takes to get those things. It's going to require sacrifice. We tend to commit to something without taking time to figure out what's really involved with it. How many people go out and you impulse buy, right? You go somewhere, it's like, hey, you know, credit 0% for the first 6 months. Those 6 months are going to be up super soon. And you didn't figure it out, and you didn't look at your budget, and you didn't realize that people actually expect you to pay it back. Well, if you want to serve Jesus, let me just tell you what he's saying. Hey, I expect you to take it serious. Hey, I expect you to sacrifice some time. If you're just going to try to fit Jesus in your schedule, forget it. It won't work. Jesus needs to be the schedule. So make an informed decision. You see how our military recruits people and, you know, hey, sign up today and you'll get so much money towards college in a few years. You'll get this signing bonus. Do you understand what you're signing up for? They're going to expect some things of you. Well, I don't know. Maybe the new military, it's getting worse. You know, most of the guys, if we got in a war, they'd be hitting people with purses. But something is required. By the way, we used to be where, like, we wanted to be in on something that required that. We were willing. It's like, look, if something doesn't require sacrifice, if it doesn't require us to do something, it's not worth doing. But now we got a baby, everybody, and Jesus is not about babying people. Jesus is about reality check. We're never going to go into Christianity and say, I didn't realize this is what Jesus wanted from me. Well, guess what? That's what he wants. Okay? We tell people they get saved, hey, God's got a great plan. Everything's going to go good in your life. It may not. Now, you'll be blessed, and God will be with you every step of the way, but we're setting people up for a fall if we don't realize. Look, trials come your way. Read James chapter 1, number 1. And so this man expressed a desire, and I don't know if he ever followed through with it. To be honest with you, probably not. Then there was a second one there. This is the one who expressed delay. Look at verse 59. And he said unto another, now this guy didn't volunteer, Jesus asked him. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus, here we go. Jesus didn't just, you know, like, oh, wow, he's going to do it. He'll do it later. And he said unto him, verse 60, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, look, I'm pretty sure the guy's father wasn't dead. He would already been at the funeral. You know what he's saying? Let me wait until my father, you know, he's going to pass on. Let me delay this for a little while when he's done and he's buried in the family. Then I'll come and follow you. And Jesus said, no, that's not how it works. Delay. He was hesitant. He could think of something that needed to take place first. And let me just say this. God has called all of us to do something. All of us. He's called us to follow his commands. He's called us to commit to his will. And we're really good at looking at things and saying, I'm in, I'm going to do it, but I want to do it later. You know why? It gives us a good excuse to eventually not do it, but we feel good about ourselves that we're not going to do it because we're telling ourselves we'll do it later. It's nothing but an excuse. Notice a couple things. He didn't say no. Jesus said, hey, follow me. He didn't just flat out say, now, by the way, that's a yes, no question, I thought. Follow me. Two possible answers. Yes, no. Am I missing something here? But he's like, well, you know, I'm not going to say no. I'm just going to do something else. When someone tells you maybe, it's a no. When someone doesn't answer, it's a no. A wait till later is a no. And none of us want to flat out tell Jesus no. None of us want to flat out disobey what God says, but we will comfort ourselves by saying, I will do it, but I will do it later. That's a no. What about the people that say that and they actually do it later? They were disobedient up until that time. And when you live in disobedience, the longer you live in disobedience, the harder it is to dig yourself out of it. God wants a yes. God doesn't want to hear a no. And if you don't say yes, anything you say other than a yes is a no. That's all there is to it. So he didn't say no and he didn't go. Look at verse 60. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead and go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He didn't do it. Jesus wasn't buying this excuse. What? Are there things that we want in our life first? When I was younger and I didn't even understand Christianity, but I was younger, I'm like, you know, I know that eventually I'm going to have to be responsible, you know, and get a job and marry and all that stuff. But I'm like, you know what? Right now, I'm living my life now. That's the future. When I get a little older and kind of burned out on things, and then I'll settle down, I'll get into that. Well, thank God he saved me and got me out of that nonsense, but that was my way of thinking. I wanted to delay it because there are some things that I wanted to do. Never delay the impulse to do what God wants you to do and what you know you are supposed to do. Delay is death to obedience to God. It's just death. I read a story, there was a pastor and his family, and they went to Niagara Falls, and it was during that time when it was the spring was coming. So there was chunks of ice that were coming through and would go over the falls. And in that ice, some of the ice, they would have some fish that would get frozen in the ice. So as the ice was traveling the miles to where it would go over the fall, birds would notice it, and the birds would come. They would hop on the ice, and they would pick through, and they would eat as much of the fish as they could. And then as they were getting, they'd see the falls, the birds would hop off at the last minute, you know, to keep themselves from going over with the fish. But the pastor said he noticed with his family, there was one bird that stayed on a really long time until the very, very, very end. Right when it was about to go over, he thought he'll fly off. But what had happened, he had been on there so long, his legs got frozen to the ice. And when it went over, he was stuck. And he flapped all he could, and it didn't matter. He went over just like the ice, and he drowned. Just wait until the last minute. See, you're going to delay thinking that I can do what I want, and I don't have to do it now, and I'll follow God now, but it doesn't work that way. Look, I've seen it. Young people, let me just be real honest with you. When we encourage our young people to go to Bible college, You say, well, God doesn't want me to be in ministry. You ought to at least come a year and be open to whatever God wants. That went really well. Why? You're not ready for what's happening in this world. And I've done this for enough. I've done this long enough. Well, you know, Pastor, what I'll do is, and I've been hearing this for years, even before I was a pastor, what I'm doing is I'm not going to go right away. I want to get a job and save money. It never happens. Well, Pastor, I want to go do this first. It doesn't happen. What you're telling God is no. I don't think any Christian ought to ever tell God no. By the way, when young people are sitting there, what do you want to do with your life? If it's not, I think God wants me to do this, then it's not right. Super quiet now. Well, I've always wanted to be a... That's great. What does God want you to be? If God wants you to be that, you go be that and be the best Christian and serve God in your church. But so often, we heard so-and-so say this. Hey, you ought to try this. I think this is a good career for you to have. Huh. Look, our public universities are a mess. Most of the degrees you get don't even have jobs attached to them. That's why 70, 80% of them get degrees and they don't even work in a job that has anything to do with their degree, and the vast majority of them work in a job that don't even require a degree. But this is really quiet. Why don't we just find out what God wants? And if we know what God wants, why don't we just say, I'm in right now, I'm not waiting. I didn't go to Bible college because I was called. My pastor thought it was a good idea. He knew where I was at in life. He knew I was a new Christian, no Christian upbringing. He said, you need to go to Bible college. I'm like, I didn't even graduate from high school. I didn't even graduate from kindergarten. I got sick and they're like, you don't even need to go. My first graduation was college. But he said, you go. And he explained why it would be good. And I'm like, all right, if you think that's good for me, I'm in. And you know what? Through the course of time, God showed me what he wants me to do. But what we do is, come on, we know what God wants us to do, and I will do that later. You won't. And you're going to leave a train wreck in your wake. Those that delay very seldom follow through. And lastly, there was the one who expressed demands. Look at verse 61. And another also said, now this guy comes to him, Lord, I will follow thee. Now the other guy goes, I'll follow you, I'll go wherever you want me to go. This guy, he didn't go that direction. But first, let me go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So he comes, he doesn't give Jesus excuses when Jesus tells him. He says, I'll go, but I'm only gonna go after I do this. It's like you're telling the Lord, here's how it's gonna work. I know you want me to follow you, but I'll follow you, but let me give you my plan for following you. Let me give you my timetable for following you. Let me tell you what I want to accomplish before I follow you. These are my demands. His willingness came with conditions. Got to go back home, do this, do that, and then I'll get it all together, and then I'll come. And now what we do? Well, I'll follow Christ, but I want to do this. I'll follow Christ, but only if I can do this. You know, in the early days of our church, right, you got a new church, and there was only a few of us that when we got the church started, and you can always use helpers, and we were a Cambodian church, and there were some Cambodians that came from other churches, mature Christians. I remember one guy came and says, well, I'll stay here and I'll help you, but you have to let me do this, this, and this. And we said, we don't want you. Don't come here and give demands. Jesus, I'll follow you, but only, see, we do that. Look, I'll follow you, Jesus, but everything better be spot on. First time something isn't the way it goes, I'm out. Why did he do that? I'm going to tell you why. He lacked priority. He goes, I will follow thee, but let me, what's that word in verse 61? Let me first. I don't know about you, I kind of thought Jesus is supposed to be first. You come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll follow thee. What do you want me to do now? Why are we putting stipulations on it? Why are we saying, I got to do some my thing first? Is God the priority in your life? See, most of us, we're okay with God, we're okay with church, we're okay with things, and as long as it doesn't interfere with what I want to do. I'll be at church, but if something comes up that I want to do, I won't be there this Sunday. See, I got rid of that a long time ago, priority. When God asks us to give, right? It's called the tithe. When does God, what part of our income does God want us to give? Not just the tithe, he wants us to give the first fruits. God gets his first. God doesn't get the leftovers, because I'm just going to tell you how it works. There's never any leftovers, right? You know, I'll serve God and I'll get involved in ministry when I have time. You're never going to have time. You don't give God time, you make time for God. Well, I'll read my Bible. Good. You give it the priority. You make time to read your Bible. You know, Pastor, I've just been so busy, I can't read my Bible. I can't find the time. And yet you eat three times a day. I've never heard of anybody starving to death that said, how come you starved to death? You know, I didn't have time to eat. Yeah, we make time for that which is important to us. Really, it was nothing more than just a lack of faith on his part. He didn't want to follow God. And not only did he lack priority, but he just lacked passion. Jesus said it. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. This guy was looking back before he even put his hand on the plow. You understand what that is, right? A plow is, you're going to plant and you want your rows to be straight. You plow the dirt so you can plant the seed. You know how you plant the rows correctly? Now we have computer and GPS and all that stuff, so it's probably not an issue. I mean, my father-in-law has all the farming equipment. It's air-conditioned, okay? And the radios and everything. It didn't used to be like that. But like if I'm going to plant a row here, I'm going to go like this and I'm going to fix my eyes straight ahead and walk straight ahead, and it's going to be pretty straight. But as soon as I start looking back, I'm going to be all over the map. You know, we're serving God. We're not being straight with him because we're looking back. There's no passion there. Look, when you're excited about something, there is nothing that can cause you to look back. Nothing. God's just not that important to you. Well, Pastor, I'm just not a passionate kind of person. You know, I'm just kind of laid back and chill, and I just kind of do this. No, there's something you're passionate about. We can find it. Oh, yes, there is. It's just not God. You don't want to take that energy that you ought to have for God and put it on God. You'll put it on something that has no value whatsoever because you have conditions. I will serve God, but it better not interfere with what I want to do. It better not interfere with what is my passion in life. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, anything that you put before God is nothing more than an idol. And God doesn't do well with that. You know what God wants from us? He wants someone that doesn't just talk a good game. He wants someone that walks a good game. He doesn't want someone that just says they'll do something. He wants someone that shows up and actually does something. And by the way, you're gonna have to make a commitment. The second, look, if you've never made, look, I'm a commitment kind of guy. When I first started going to church, I went for about a month. And I realized that Christianity was real, and I had to make a decision, and I had no clue what the decision was. I just knew, I said, I'll do the one thing I know to do. I'm going to show up at every single service. Every single service. And if you do that, here's what's going to happen. You ready? You're going to be tested. The first time you do that, grandma's going to call and say, hey, we're having a party for Hortense. When? Sunday at 10. Hey, would you like to go with our family here? When? You know, Thursday, Sunday night, 5. So, hey, that's the same time as church. I know, Satan knows what he's doing. You just got to say, hey, I'll meet you afterwards. Can we go on a different day? Why? You love that church more than me? Don't say yes. That's a really bad move. Just say no, but it's scheduled at that time. You're going to say, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to do the right thing. Stay away from my old friends. Stay away from that lifestyle. Someone's going to call. I mean, they are going to call. You are going to be tested. I gave up my friends. I remember I was at home, and I wasn't doing anything. I got a call. It was an old girl I dated before. It's like, what are you doing? She didn't ask that. She goes, hey, why don't you come hang out? My parents aren't around. Why don't you come, just come hang out this evening with me. Now, I was a Christian, and I thought, I ain't doing that. But I thought, how do I, I got to tell her why I'm not doing it. I'm like, and she's like, she finally said, look, what have you been doing lately? I thought, boom, entrance point. I'm like, I've been going to church. They got really, really quiet. I'm like, by that, I meant I got saved. I am a Christian now. Amen. They got really silent. And, she had to go. I got to go. I'll call you later. I'm like, I'm sure you will. But, that doesn't happen until you commit. And if you don't have the passion and the courage to say no to that which you know will be detrimental to your faith, you're not going to make it. God doesn't negotiate very well. Okay? Some of us were Christian terrorists. You hold yourself back and say, God, you had got to negotiate. And God's like, no. Just do it. What are we afraid of? I mean, if we say we love Jesus, to me, it just makes sense that my life would say the same thing. And that it wouldn't be an issue to say, I'm doing the right thing. Let's not be like this. You can always find excuses not to do what you're supposed to do. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Let's stand together if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. There's these three. They said the right thing. Two of them did for sure. But the scripture doesn't tell us, and I'm pretty sure they didn't, that they did the right thing. It was just caught up in the emotion. There's a crowd following Jesus. I want to follow him too, and I get caught up, but when push comes to shove, no. What's your hold back today? Do you have a desire, but yet you're not willing to pay the price? Or do you want to comfort yourself by saying that you will be serious about God later? I will serve God later. I will give God an opportunity in my life, but it's going to be later. Or do you have demands? I'll serve God as long as what I'm getting what I want out of it, and I can do what I want at the same time. That's where our Christianity and our society is at. We want a Jesus where we can go to church, we listen to the wrong kind of music at church, it's nothing but a bunch of nonsense, and then we go live like the devil and it makes no difference in our life. But that's what I want. I think we ought to just be serious. If we never told someone we are a Christian, which we have to, I wonder if they'd figure it out by our lifestyle. Piano's gonna play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? We could have all the facilities in this world. We could have all the money to do ministry in this world. But if we're not going to be serious about God, if we're not going to live it, we're not going to be very effective. We're not.